How many follow what President Trump tweets? Any of you? You hear about it a lot, right? President Trump tweeted something today. Well, President Trump tweeted some things out today. There we go. And it doesn't matter what he says, but he talks about in this tweet, Paul Manafort, which I have no idea who he is, worked for Ronald Reagan, Bob Dole, and many other highly prominent people, blah, blah, blah. The old charges is nothing, blah, 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 right? He goes to Twitter and he tweets out what he feels. Go to the next one. So he also tweeted out, "This is a terrible situation, and Attorney Jeff General Sessions should stop this rigid witch hunt," blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it got me to thinking about a catchy phrase I heard on the radio a couple weeks ago, and it really got my mind churning about what we do. Now, we see President Trump, every time he gets some news or he gets something he doesn't like, the first thing that he does is he hits his phone and he sends out a tweet. And so this catchy phrase that I heard on the radio one morning, I'd like to share it with you. And it goes like this: run to the throne and not to the phone. Okay? What a concept, right? What an interesting concept that we should go to God instead of calling, texting, or sharing things on social media. This little phrase several times has helped me or stopped me from being a blabbermouth. I mean, just today, knowing that I'm teaching tonight and knowing my topic, I got into work this morning, and the first thing that happened is somebody crosses me. And the first thing I wanted to do was go to my coworker, and then it was just like, oh. Even though I'm not going to my phone, the first thought on my mind and my flesh was not to take the situation or the instance or the circumstances to God, but it was to run off and be a blabbermouth to my coworker. But this is what the Word of God says, and I'd like for you to turn to Psalms, the 18th chapter, and verse 6. Psalms chapter 18, verse 6. And this is what it says. In my distress, in my bad situation this morning at work, I should have called upon the Lord, right? So the Bible, what David writes here is, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Amen. In my distress, in my bad situation, in my circumstance that I didn't like, that I got offended, the first thing that I wanted to do was run to my buddy and tell him all about my sorrows. Oh, I was hurt. Psalm 120 and verse 1. Psalms 120 and verse 1. What does this say? In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. And he heard me. Are you seeing the pattern here? How about Psalms 50 and 15? Psalms 50 and 15. And call upon, this is God speaking here, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Did I have some trouble this morning? You better believe it. I will, what? I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You mean if I would have taken my circumstance to the God, right? Instead of running off to my little buddy, if I would have taken my circumstance to God, he said he would have heard me, he would have delivered me, and then because he took care of my situation, I get to glorify him because he took care of it, because he's in charge. Amen. That's the kind of God that you and I serve. So sometimes in times of crisis, it's easy to run to the phone and share with the world your problems. But is that what we ought to be doing? Look, I know what some of you are thinking right about now. Aren't we supposed to share our burdens and our problems with one another? After all, the Bible does say that. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. I love these one another's. They're so good. That you may be healed, and I love this part, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what I'm saying is it's not bad to go to your brother or your sister. I've done it. There's people in here that I've confided in because I needed somebody to help share my burden. I needed somebody to help share the weight, my distress, my problems. But here's what I will say. It is good for us to go to our brethren. Yes, I want to help you, and I'm sure that you want to help me, and I want to pray for you as much as you want to pray for me. But what I am also saying, that before we go to our phones, before we go to our friends and ask our church family for their prayers, we need to run to the throne of God. I mean, put the slide back up there of the Ark of the Covenant. This is the mercy seat. Look at that. This is where God dwelt. In the Old Testament, this is where God dwelt, right there in the middle of the mercy seat. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, that's where He dwelt. That's where His presence was. And as we learned in Vacation Bible School, God doesn't dwell or inhabit or rest upon people anymore, but God has placed His Spirit within each one of us. Amen? Isn't that great now that we have God living inside of us? And so it should be so easy that when we get into our situations, when we get into our conflicts, when we get into our whatevers, because He's living inside of us, it should be a quick turn to Him and say, Lord, You know the situation. But so many times I stuff Him down. Amen? Am I alone here? Am I alone here? No. I stuff Him down and I get on the phone and say, hey, Brother Justin. Hey, Brother Bill. Woe is me. But we are to run to the throne of God. Amen. And I want to take a look at a guy named Nehemiah. How many know Nehemiah? Old Testament Nehemiah. We're going to do some reading here. And we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. And I love Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 1, chapter 1, this is what it says. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu. Okay, very important. Remember that month. In the month of Chislu. In the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So here's the background. Nehemiah, he's a servant in the palace at Shushan. He's in the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes, and he's part of the exile. So Jerusalem's been destroyed. They've been carried away. Daniel, the three Hebrew children. But there is a remnant left in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah says, hey, Hanani, tell me what's going on with the remnant that's back there in Jerusalem. And this is what they replied. Verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. Whoa! They're in a bad situation. They're a reproach. They're in affliction. There's no more walls to defend the city. Verse 4, and it came to pass, this is Nehemiah, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So, in verse 1, we see the timing. It sets the background. Remember I said the month of Chislu? In our Julian calendar, the calendar that you and I use today, that would be the same as the month of December. So, in the month of December, when Nehemiah was talking to Hanani, one of the visiting Jews there in Shushan in Persia, it's December. It's very important. Verse 2 and 3, bad news. Oh, wait a minute. Got some bad news today. Jerusalem is demolished. My brethren are in affliction. Oh, wait a minute. Am I supposed to be on my phone? Oh. Before I tweet this out, maybe I ought to take it to God. Maybe I ought to pause. Time out. Verse 4, the reaction to the news was not that Nehemiah went about and told everyone the news that he had just heard. His reaction to the news was this. He wept, he fasted, and he ran to the throne in prayer. Amen. He didn't get on Facebook, Twitter, whatever social media. He didn't call his brother, his sister, his monkey's uncle. He didn't call anybody. He went straight to God and he began to cry, he began to fast, and he began to pray for the city and his people. Now, let's move into verse 5 and look at Nehemiah's prayer. And said I, and this is what Nehemiah said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive. Is this familiar to any of the Psalms? I mean, okay, just want to make sure we're still on the same page. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou may hearest the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. Not just a little bitty fling it up prayer and hope it sticks. This is supplication. This is straining. This is heartbrokenness. This is intense prayer. And I guarantee, if you show up on Sunday morning, that's the type of prayer that's changing this church. Amen. Day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee. You ever think about that word beseech? I beseech ye. I struggle with you. I plead. I'm grabbing a hold of the altars, the horn on the altars, and I'm pulling it in. I beseech ye, God. The word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. That's where they're at. They were in Babylon. Persians went and conquered Babylon, and now they're in Persia. They've been scattered. But if you return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather them from hence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name. Think about that. If you disobey me, this is what you told your servant Moses, if you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you. But if you choose to turn and come back to me, I will gather you unto the place where I have set my name. I want you to think about that one. I'm going to come back to it. Now, these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee. There he is again. I beseech thee. Let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. What man was he talking about? He was talking about the king, Artaxerxes. But I want us to go back and look. In verse 6 and 7, there's the confession of sins. There's that confession. Hey, Lord, we haven't been following your ways. We haven't been following your rules. You know, we're wrong. I confess my sins. I confess the nation's sins like David or Daniel did. I confess not only what I've done, but what the nation has done by turning away from you. Verses 8 and 9, repentance. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you. I want to come back to this. If I scatter you and you turn back to me, if you confess your sins, you repent, you make that conversion, that turn, then what does he say? I will return you to the place where I have placed my name. In the Old Testament, it was Jerusalem. But where has he placed his name today? Inside of us. Why? Because when we go through the waters of baptism, we go under in his name. Amen. We take upon his name, and the Holy Ghost comes and resides in us, which is Christ dwelling inside of us. And guess what? If you confess your sins, if you turn, and I will bring you back unto the place where I have placed my name, you will be in right standing with God once again. And so there is also the reminder of what God has promised there in verse 8, which is, I will gather you from there. Wherever I scattered you, I will gather you from there back unto me. That's the reminder of what God had promised him. And now, we come to chapter 2. And I'm only going to read one verse in chapter 2, and this is the first verse. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Remember, when did he get the message? December, in the month of Chislu. It is now Nisan. It is the first month of the Jewish year. Big deal. But what's important about it? It's April. It's April. You mean to tell me that from the time that he got the news, he started fasting, he started praying, he started crying, he started pleading for God to do something about the situation his brethren were in. And for 4 months he fasted, he prayed, and he wept, and he never went to Facebook, he never went to Twitter, he never voiced his concern. Until now. He always went to God. 4 months. Some of us can't even go 4 minutes. All right. Amen? All right. How many can go 4 minutes? How many can go 4 hours? How many can go 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years? Praying that God resolve the situation before you start becoming a blabbermouth. You know, and I'm not trying to step on your toes because, look, I just told you I did it this morning. And I'm the guy that's standing up here. Because this hits me right between the eyes. Why? Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of running to other people before running to the throne of God. You may not see my posts on Facebook. You may not see my texts. But I do it. I'm guilty. And that's me. So for 4 months it went by before he ever said anything. Before he went to the outside, he made sure that he had consecrated himself through prayer and fasting, making his supplication known unto God before he ever shared his sorrow and his grief with the rest of the world. Close friends are great to confide in. I have a few of them. We need our friends to confide in. I have friends that I confide in. But the next time you and I are ready to pick up the phone and call or text or post something on social media, could you do one thing? Could I do one thing? Could we fall to our knees and spend 30 minutes in prayer? Could we? Could we? Next passage I want to look at is Hebrews 4 and 16. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let me know when you're there. Say amen. 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 It's on the board. Let's, you and I, therefore come boldly. Oh, boldly. Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in the time of need. Wow. You mean I have the ability, according to the writer of Hebrews, that I can come boldly before the throne of God, because it doesn't take very much boldness to post stuff on Facebook or call or text or whatever. But it does take Holy Ghost boldness to come to God and say, Lord, you know where I'm at. You know the situation. You know how I fail. You know what's going on in my life, my health, my finances, my wife, my husband, my kids, my whatever. You know the situation. Let me come forth. Let me come forward boldly before your throne, your throne of grace, the undeserved love that I don't deserve. Let me come boldly before your throne that I may obtain mercy. So grace is the love that you don't deserve from God, and mercy is being pardoned from the punishment I deserve from God. Think about that. That I may obtain mercy, that I may obtain reprieve from the punishment that God should deliver unto me, and find grace to help in the time of need. Think about that. Chew on that one. And as I close tonight, I've got one more passage I want to take a look at. Turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Anybody know where I'm going with this one? You ought to. Matthew chapter 11. Last few verses of the chapter. 28 through 30. Jesus, he's talking to his people, he's teaching, and he says this, come unto me. Come unto me, not to Facebook, not to Twitter, not to wherever, but come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden. I mean, have you ever been crushed by a situation? By a situation in your life? You get that, well, Mr. Matheny, I have to inform you, your son Trey has cancer. That's crushing. Or you yourself, Sister Cox, you have cancer. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. And then he went on to say, take my yoke upon you. Now, the imagery here is that because we are God's children, that we are yoked with him. Oxen, side by side. One bearing the brunt of the load, and the other one there to assist. He says, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I want to go to that word meek. Now, super storyteller buddy, he did the Beatitudes, and we got to talk about meekness. And I've got a little ditty, a little rhyme that I've memorized a long time ago when I was doing a study on meekness, and I'd like to share it with you tonight. If you think meekness is weakness, try being meek for a week. Let me share that with you one more time. If you think meekness is weakness, try being meek for a week. Do you know what meekness is? You ever taken a look at what meekness is? It's strength under control. It's all under control. Now, how many people have cars? Right? Okay? And how fast does your car go? About 90 miles an hour. All right, we got to do one better. Sister Leadfoot Julia, you got a car. How fast does your car go? What's the speedometer say it could do? Probably about 140, 120, 140. Okay, so here's what meekness is. It's strength under control. Although you have the ability to drive 140 miles an hour, you keep it under control by driving 55 60 and a 60, right? You keep that strength, that horsepower under control. That's what meekness is. Although you have the ability, you may have the ability to do certain things, meekness says, I'm keeping my strength under control. So, for I am meek. Don't ever think that Jesus was weak. He had all the power under control. And he's lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you stand with me? It is so easy in today's world, so easy to get trapped and enticed by taking what the world throws at you and throwing it right back at them, and doing it in social media or whatever venue, whether it's on the phone calling somebody or texting somebody. It is so, so easy. It's the world we live in today. But can I remind you, run to the throne and not to the phone. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Glory to God.